Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107, and we're going to read verses 21 through 22 to start with. Tonight's going to be more of a Bible study because there's a lot of scripture I want to turn to. So if you need to pop your knuckles, if you need to stretch your fingers, or just get your pen ready and just write down the references, whichever one you want to do. But we are going to look at several verses tonight because we are in the Thanksgiving season. We're in the month of November. Now, obviously, for a child of God, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. But just to, as we enter in this month, I want to look at some things we can be thankful for. In Psalm 107, looking at verse 21 and 22, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." One more time. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us, Lord, to be gathered together in the Lord's house. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, establish our thoughts, help us not to be distracted by our own thoughts, things that, Lord, we have to do this week, things maybe we didn't do this past week. Lord, we just ask that you remove all distractions, helping us, Lord, Father, to be able to sit before you and to hear you as you speak to our hearts, as the Holy Spirit guides us through your word. Father, helping us to apply it to our life. Lord, I ask that you would bless each person here. Thank you, Father, for the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the empty tomb that reminds us that we have victory through Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and one day he will return, and it's imminent. Lord, it's sooner than it ever has been before, and we look forward to seeing our Savior face to face. But Lord, help us, Lord, to be thankful for the things that you do for us now. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the things we'll look at tonight in Scripture, because all throughout eternity, Father, we will worship you and praise you. But Lord, help us to do it now while we're walking upon this earth and living the life that you have allowed us to have. Good or bad, Father, you want us to have a heart of gratitude towards you, because regardless of the bad things that happen in our life, regardless of the good things that happen, we are to praise your name because you created us. You created humans to walk with you, to glorify you, to worship you, and to have a blessed life by your hand. And we do thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. So Lord, would you please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God is always looking for people to praise him. And he's always looking for his people, the people who have been redeemed, the people whose lives have been changed by the power of Christ, the people whose lives have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to light their path as they walk this journey of life. God is looking for you and for me to praise him on a continual basis. Like I said in my prayer, for good times and bad times. It's easy to be thankful for when things are going exactly the way you want them to be going, when everything is perfect and there's no problem whatsoever. But it's in the trials that our faith is tested. It's in the trials that God looks to us to be singing his praises. No matter what's going on in our life, God deserves for his people to be thankful. And God considers it a sacrifice. Notice again what he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Saved and lost people are blessed by the Lord in various ways. Because just as the lost man, the lost farmer, has his fields rained upon with God's rain, so does the saved farmer as well. Again, lost and saved benefit through the blessings of God, but the children of God are highly favored and highly blessed, and we are to be the ones praising the Lord more than any other. Again, he says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It is a lot easier to throw money in the plate than it is to be thankful on any given day. Now, sitting in church, we can kind of be like Peter and be confident in ourselves, as Peter was confident, Lord, I'll never deny you. Though all men deny you, I never will. It's easy in the presence of the Lord to be sure that we will not do what we know we shouldn't do. But again, the test comes when we are living our life, when things are happening in our life. One of the great examples, Jesus is the greatest example, but I know sometimes people have the mindset, well, he's Christ, he never sinned. Of course, he said everything perfect. That's why the Bible's filled with examples of men and women who chose to worship God and to be thankful in times of difficulties to prove that they truly trusted the Lord. You think about the life of Job and how Job at the beginning of his trial said, blessed be the name of the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You think about Esther who said, I'm going in before the king, if I perish, I perish. But she put her life in the hands of God. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to your false idol. We will not bow to your statue. God is able to deliver us, but if God chooses not to, we're still not bowing. And God walked with them in the midst of the fire because they chose to worship and praise God with their life, being a living sacrifice. Tonight, as we look at Scripture, I want to see 10 areas that we can, for not just the month of November, though it is a month of Thanksgiving, there is a day set aside that we will celebrate Thanksgiving, we'll gather with family, we'll have a special meal. Maybe it's a practice in your home where each person maybe writes down something they're thankful for, or they just, you know, voice it to the people there at the meal, at your home, or wherever you may be. But as God's people, we do need to think about the things that we're thankful for. And the first thing we can be thankful for is found in Hebrews chapter 13. So if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13, or if you just want to write the references down, whichever is best for you, Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse number 5, we can be thankful for the presence of God in our life. For the presence of God, because never forget the time of your life that you did not have the presence of God in your life. You know what I mean by that? Is by the Holy Spirit of God residing in you. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, speaking of God, hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Again, you and I have a God in heaven whose spirit resides in every believer who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His spirit indwelling us will never leave us. Therefore, everywhere we go, no matter where we go in this world, no matter where you go this week, you have the confidence that your God, your Savior, is with you. And if he's with you, then guess what? His grace is with you. His strength is with you. His wisdom is with you. His guidance is with you. He's watching over you. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God tells Joshua, as Joshua has been chosen by God, he's been trained, God's been preparing Joshua for this day. As Moses has passed off the scene, Moses has died, Joshua is now the second leader, and he's going to be the one to lead God's people into the promised land. God speaking to Joshua says in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You and I, as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, never have to doubt that God will be with us. Now, it's an amazing thing. I don't know some people that do have fear and struggle with fear probably struggle with. I know of a man years ago that I used to work for. He was always afraid of going to sleep at night because he was afraid of dying in his sleep. Now, he was of a religion, and he had the spirit of fear. He feared dying. He feared going to sleep. Therefore, he would not go to sleep at night, and it would tell upon his face as his bags under his eyes were sunken in, and just the blackness around his eyes for lack of sleep. He just feared. You realize, as a child of God, we don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear death. I don't even have to fear what may happen this week. Because God gives us peace. Because his presence goes with us. God promised Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Joshua, he witnessed God with Moses. He witnessed what God did in Moses' life and what God did through Moses. As everybody else did not want to be near Moses, Joshua was always right there, always waiting for him, always ministering. As Moses was called up to Mount Sinai, and God told Moses to tell the people, do not come near the mountain. Anyone that touches the mountain will die. But Moses, or Joshua, waited at the foot of the mountain. He waited for Moses because where God was is where Joshua wanted to be. You remember, and you read the life about Ruth, Ruth being a Moabite woman, being raised in Moab, being raised to worship and to believe and trust in false idols and to believe in false gods that could not help her. Yet when she heard about the God of heaven blessing Israel, she told her mother-in-law, Naomi, where God is, that's where I want to be. She said, I want to be with God's people. I want to be with God. And she left where she was. And God orchestrated the whole thing as she met Boaz. And she would marry Boaz, and Boaz would be a picture of Christ, the kinsman redeemer. What I'm saying is to remind us, never forget that God's with you. Sure, there'll be tough things that we face. There'll be difficulties we face. There'll be things that we face that, you know, we don't quite know the answer to. We don't know what to do. But God is with us, meaning his grace is with us. His power is with us. His wisdom is with us. You have a God in heaven that is not just a billion light years away from you that you cannot get a hold of him. He resides within you. That just saying, Lord, please help me, he answers that prayer. I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 15 as we look at the second thing that you and I should be thankful for, and that is God's protection. Genesis chapter 15, and I know our enemy wants us, as soon as we think about, as soon as God's protection is mentioned, the devil always wants to remind us, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that wants to tell us that God's not faithful because this happened and you asked and you prayed and sought God for it not to happen. Again, God is sovereign. God is in control. And just like in the life of Job, there's always a rainbow on the other side of the storm. Sometimes God allows us to go through storms. God allows things to happen because he wants our faith in him to be strengthened. He wants us to truly trust him. But you think about God's protection. Do you realize life can be a lot worse than what it is? You have things in your life that I have no idea what it is. And I have things in my life you have no idea what it is. But you realize your life could be a lot worse. If you're a child of God tonight, if you are an heir of God, joint heir of Jesus Christ, heaven is your home, then guess what? You have a bright future. Sure, things on this planet may not be what you want it to be, but it could be a lot worse. You and I could not have the presence of God in our life because not everybody is a child of God. There are some that falsely believe that everybody saved or lost is a child of God, and that is not biblically. That's not biblically true. Only those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have been given the power by God to become the sons of God. So being a child of God, you have not only the presence of God in your life, that he is always there, always watching over you. And yes, there are some times where he allows things to happen, but you and I still have the protection of God in our life. Look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. What? Let's see. Hold on. No, okay, it is verse 1. For a minute there, my eyes were deceiving me. All right, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, speaking of a child, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir, speaking of Isaac. But when you look back at verse number 1, God tells Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God tells Abraham who he had called out from the Chaldeans. He had called out from a country to follow him. And he told him, everywhere your foot travels, everywhere your foot steps, I'm going to give you that land. And Abraham traveled following the Lord. And God protected him. God didn't let anything happen to Abraham as he followed him through the promised land, as he would sit there and not once but twice get his wife Sarah to lie. And to say, tell them you're my sister and not my wife, because he feared the Egyptians who would kill him. He feared others because it says of Sarah that she was a fair woman to look upon. Though she was up in her 90s, yet she was beautiful. And Abraham feared for his life, but God did not want Abraham to have the spirit of fear. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love, of a sound mind. Tonight, do you believe that God can protect you? And again, your enemy who wants you and me not to fully trust God will always bring to our mind maybe some incident where you did get hurt. And you wonder, well, why did God allow that to happen? Again, God has a reason for what he does, and you and I have to fully trust God that whatever he allows, it is for our good and his glory. And I still believe that God can protect me. And that is why on many occasions I cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, would you go before me? Lord, would you keep your hand of protection not only around me, but around my family, around the church family, around your people, believing that God's protection is sufficient in our life. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. Look, if you would, Isaiah chapter 41. Again, being thankful for God's presence in your life. And you know what? As we think about God's presence in our life, we need to make sure that we always follow him. That we always rely upon him. That we always seek him with all of our heart. Because there are many people who are in your life. Whether family, friends, co-workers, just people in your life, acquaintances. But if you have the heaven, if you have the God of heaven in your life, that's a presence in your life that is far more valuable than any other person in your life. Because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always love you. You can always find forgiveness in him. You can always find grace in time of need for help. In Isaiah chapter 41, looking at verse 10, God says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now listen, as God speaks to his people, to the children of Israel, it applies to the Christian as well. It applies to all of his children. The fact that there's nothing that we have to fear. We do not have to fear man. We don't have to fear circumstances. We don't have to fear the unknown. Because God says, I am with thee. Just as he told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And it's God's power in our life that strengthens us to not only accomplish his will, but to remain faithful to him. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's not speaking about physical strength. He's speaking about an inner strength. He's speaking about a strength on the inside that will help you to have the right perspective, the right outlook, that will help you as he helped Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail at midnight as they were thrust into the innermost part of that prison, not because of a crime they committed, but because there were people in Philippi that did not like the message that they were preaching. They did not like the fact they were helping people be delivered from darkness by shedding the light of the gospel in their life and in that town. But God helped them on the inside to be able to sing praises to him at midnight. And God delivered them in a great way, as he would deliver many, many more of his people in a great way. But God gives us that inner strength that we need to keep pressing on, to keep trusting him. When you find yourself at the bottom of the barrel, because even a born-again believer finds himself at different times at the bottom of the barrel, trying to hang on to the end of the rope. If you're at the bottom of the barrel, God gives us that inner strength to look up, to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. To look up to the one who is there with a stretched out hand, ready to pull us up out of the mire and to set our feet upon that rock, that foundation of Jesus Christ. If we find ourselves at the end of the rope because we've done everything we could and we're just trying to hang on, you will be told by the world and by people with good intentions, just hang on, just hang on. But I would encourage you to let go. Let go and let God bear you up in his hands. Let God lift you up. Let God be in control. Because when we do things in our own strength and by our own wisdom, we find ourselves struggling. We find ourselves fighting against ourselves. We find ourselves at our wits' end. We find ourselves just discouraged with life. But when we allow the power of God to work in our life, as he says, I will strengthen thee, then we find peace and joy. We find that God's grace is sufficient because it is God's grace that strengthens us. Just as Paul was told by Jesus Christ, my grace is sufficient, for in your weakness I am strong. In your weakness I am strong. It's God's power in us, and it is through the Holy Spirit. And that's why God tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because the child of God, the born-again believer, has been given the Holy Spirit to help them live the Christian life, to help them overcome the things in this world, to be that bright, shining testimony that Jesus calls us to be, because we can't live the Christian life in and of ourselves. Many people have walked away because they just could not live the Christian life, and we can't. But when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God and to the power of God, God's the one that started the good work in you and will finish that good work. It's God in you. Remember, go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I may not even get done with this list, but just thinking about Galatians chapter 2. Because I know of a lot of Christians that are struggling and it's not needed. Because they're not truly relying upon the power of God in their life. They're not relying upon the power that's already there, already available to them. In Galatians chapter 2, you look at verse 20, and Paul says, he writes to the believers at Galatia, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, sometimes we think nobody else has it as tough as I do. And we say that because we don't know of anybody else that may be going through the trial or having the hardship that we're having at the time. And we look at other people that seem to be jolly and happy, and it's like, wow, they never have any problems. They just don't understand. You look at the life of Paul, some may say, you know, if only Paul knew. But as a Bible reader, and you read the life of Paul, you read his letters, we understand that Paul knows exactly what he's talking about. Because Paul faced persecution at the hands of people. Well, Paul was dragged out of Lystra and stoned and left for dead. Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like we've been beaten up, right? Sometimes when you're really sick, you feel like you've been hit by a Mack truck. You're like, oh, I feel like someone punched me in the gut. I feel like this. I feel like that. Paul literally faced death. The hatred was so intense. And again, not because he committed a crime. Not because he did anybody wrong. He was simply there to help people through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to help people see there's a better way. And that better way is through Jesus Christ. And there were those that did not like the message he had. They did not like him personally. And they soon rather just see him dead. And they tried to kill him. But when you read that account in the book of Acts, and Paul regains consciousness after the people left him, the Bible says, you know, his companions that were traveling, they're standing there just looking at him. Have no idea what they're thinking. They're thinking, oh, now what do we do? I mean, what's going on? Why would God allow this to happen? But as Paul regains his consciousness, can you imagine? You're seeing this lifeless body laying there all bloody, all bruised. Stones laying around that were thrown at him. And all of a sudden, you know, his leg starts twitching. He starts kind of moving and moaning and getting back up, and them trying, helping him get, Paul, you okay? Paul, we thought you were dead. Oh, I'm fine. It's okay. All right, Paul, well, come on, let's go to the next city. The Bible records Paul went back into Lystra. Because you know what? He wasn't going to let the devil have the upper hand. Don't let the devil have the upper hand in your life. Yes, there'll be times when you're at that place like Paul. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Because you've been beaten up. You've been trying to do something in your own strength. You find yourself just doubting. You find yourself contemplating, you know, just walking away from the faith. Walking away. You know what? I've got the gift of salvation. I really don't want the rest of this. I don't want the spiritual battle. That's exactly what the devil wants. But don't give up. Let's be like Paul, and let's give the devil what he doesn't want. Paul goes back into the city of Lystra and doesn't leave until the next day. How could he do that? The power of God. As Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live through the power. He lives through the faith of the Son of God who loved him and died for him. Back in Isaiah in chapter 41, you don't have to turn there if you're there in Galatia. But in Isaiah 41, we were there a second ago talking about the power of God. I will strengthen thee. But he says something else in this verse, in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. God helped Paul have the determination and the encouragement on the inside to go back into Lystra and not leave the next day. God says, I will help thee. Again, we have friends, we have family members that no doubt would be there for us when we need help. But again, there are times where people can't be there. But God is always there. That's why we thank him for his presence to begin with, because he's always there. He's always ready to help. He's always ready to lift a hand, to lift us up, to encourage us, to give us the inner strength we need to keep pressing on. Because listen, if it's left up to us to live the Christian life, if it's left up to us to fight the devil, there would not be, I promise there would not be a single Christian that would continue this journey, because it's tough at times. God leads us to situations that we would not choose. Again, when you think about the life of Job, when you think about the life of David, I mean, just think about David. What a glorious day it was when Samuel came to Jesse's home and called Jesse and his sons to the feast. I mean, how proud Jesse must have been that God has chosen one of his sons. But as he presents his son to Samuel, the seven sons to Samuel, and God rejects them all. Even Samuel is kind of puzzled, like, okay, do you have any more sons? Because God has rejected all these. Well, yeah, I mean, there's one more. But, I mean, he's tending the sheep. Even his father didn't even think much to call this son to the feast, because surely God needed someone who was already prepared. Because remember Samuel, when he looked at the first son, he said, surely this is the one God wants me to anoint. But God rejected each one because God had already prepared for him a king. A king who had a heart like God, a man after God's own heart. And you know, David is chosen to be the king. As David comes, God tells Samuel, arise, anoint him, he's the one. But he wasn't even old enough to be in the army. He wasn't even 20 yet. He was still a teenager. And that's okay, because God needed to train him. God needed to continue to work in David's life. And David would. He would defeat Goliath, and what a glorious day that would be. But obviously, David went in the power of the name of Jehovah. Because as Goliath is standing there, all clad in his armor, his helmet, his sword, his spear, his shield, he scared the daylights out of the men of Israel. So much so that when they would see Goliath, the Bible records, they would run and hide. Even the king Saul would not even dare go out there. Here's someone who has a heart for God. Here's someone whose God's hand is upon him. And as David sees and hears that Goliath talking, David goes out there. And as David goes out there with no sword, no spear, no shield, just five smooth stones and a sling, what's in your hand? What is it that God can use in your life? What do you have? Because sometimes we have the mentality, I don't have anything that God can use. If I was like so-and-so, yeah, God could use me. If I was like Paul, if I was like, you know, we'll try to compare ourselves among ourselves, and it's unwise. David went out there with a heart for God, and he tells Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He even says, God's going to give me victory. God's going to give me your head. And David runs towards Goliath. No fear. Why? Because his confidence was in God. He believed God was with him and God would give him the victory. And did God give him the victory? Absolutely. God gave him the victory. Why? Because God's presence was with David. God protected David. Even though after this victory, some time would go by, and then David would have to be on the run for his life. Because the very one he played the harp for to soothe his soul, King Saul, would be after him until the day he died. Sometimes we think, you know, if I read my Bible, if I pray, if I go to church, then God should bless me. Sometimes people think God should just bless me no matter if I don't read my Bible or pray or go to church. And I'm talking about the child of God, the Christian, the born-again believer. But we have to have a heart like David, fully trusting God, fully surrendered to God's will, fully having that faith that I will follow the Lord, I will trust the Lord, because I know, as he says in Isaiah 41:10, not only will he strengthen me, but he will help me in time of need. And God's given us the boldness to come before the throne of grace to ask for grace in the time of need. God's given you and I the boldness, the privilege to come before his holy throne in prayer and to seek what we need, to ask for that wisdom, to ask for that protection, to ask for that help. God promises that he will help his child. Lastly, I want you to look at John chapter 10, and we'll finish the others next week. But John chapter 10 and verse 4. John chapter 10 and verse 4. Jesus speaking here says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Back up, you would, to verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and robber. Speaking of not being the true shepherd. Remember, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. He goes on to say, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. As a shepherd will lead his sheep and lead them by name, calling them by name, his own sheep follow him, trusting that the shepherd will lead them to the green pastures, to the still waters, that the true shepherd will watch over them and protect them. But the fact that you and I have a God who leads us, and you, again, we're considered sheep. God uses sheep as a symbol because he wants us to follow. He wants us to trust. Sheep are the most simplest animal. They can't defend themselves. They cannot provide for themselves. They often wander, and the shepherd has to go after them. Remember, Jesus gave the account of the 99 sheep that remained where they were supposed to, but one went astray, and the shepherd left the 99 and went in search of the one that went astray. And when he found the one, he didn't scold it. He didn't kick it. He didn't beat it. He picked it up on his shoulders and carried it back to the fold. We have a Heavenly Father, again, that watches over us. He's always there to help. And when we stray, he's there to lead us back to the fold. He's there to lead us in the way that he wants us to go. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. God leads us. You know the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? It's up to us to follow. God's given us a free will to do whatever we want. And he wants us to choose to acknowledge his presence in our life, to acknowledge his protection and his power, his provisions in our life, and his leading in our life. The fact that God truly is looking to show himself great and mighty in your life and to bless you beyond measure in ways that we can't even comprehend or even imagine. Because our way of being blessed, I say our way as just far as people, is that, well, if God blesses me with more money, if God blesses me with this and that, then okay. But God some of God's greatest treasures that he wants us to have, again, are listed here. The greatest treasure is his presence. To have the presence of God in our life. To be able to hear his voice as he speaks to our heart. That the creator of the heaven and the earth actually cares about me. The psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Again, God created male and female. God created people to fellowship with, to share his goodness with, to share his presence with. Because you realize that there's probably been people of great stature and famous people that maybe you thought, man, it'd be great to meet them. But you would never dare try to drive to their home because they don't know you and they more than likely would not allow you in. The security guards would probably escort you down the street and tell you never to come back. But we have a Heavenly Father that will never do that to his children. Realize, you may know who Jesus Christ is. You may have him as your Lord and Savior. But God wants you and I to walk a lot closer to him, experiencing a lot more of him, and to do like the psalmist says in Psalm 107, that we would give the sacrifices of thanksgiving for what he has given us, his presence, and with his presence comes his power, his protection, his provision. I mean, he is a God that has eyes to see, ears to hear. He has a mouth to speak. He has hands to save and to help. Let's not neglect our Lord and Savior.